All right, everybody, welcome to part two of our series, With Honor. We are in a three-part series. It's a short series here that we're going to conclude next week on Father's Day as we honor our fathers. And a great time as we're studying this principle. It's all throughout the Scripture on honor. Last week, we were talking about how that we honor people. And one of the examples I used last week was how this, you know, in some churches they sit on the edge of their seat and they're taking notes and just that level of honor they give no matter who the speaker is. And as I gave that illustration, I came to the realization that you take notes as well. We actually have message notes that we provide. It's there in your worship guide. We also provide some binders that are there in the at the connection table that you can, that are free, they're yours, take them. You can use that to compile and keep track of all the message notes as we go through different series. That can be your little collection there. But last week we were going through those, and I'm always reminded, you know, we're going through this, if I miss one. And y'all know if I miss one, but I never know if I miss one. Last week I missed the last one. I heard about it after church. And my son was giving me down the road about it too. And he said, I missed point three of those message notes. And I said, but, and he kept going on and on and on me. And I said, but you missed the whole point of the whole thing, which is about honor. Anyway, so having said that, guess what? I'm going to give you point number three. So if you still have the message notes, the point number three is, let me do one thing here. It's on the screen, I know. But I went dark up here, and I'm going to get this thing to light up. All right, there we go. Honoring is decided, not deserved. All right, that's point number three. So if you still have your message notes from last week, and if you need those message notes from last week, they're actually back here. In fact, we have those posted every week on our Facebook page, or it's actually on Tumblr, where you can go and you can pull those things off. But there's a link from our Facebook page to get to that if you need to, and you can get all those notes. So anyway. But that's a good point, and that is that honoring is decided, not deserved. And so it's not about the recipient. It's not about whether they're worthy of being honored. It's that it's a decision that we make to honor people regardless. Amen? Kind of good to get an amen. I just want to make sure y'all with me. All right. Well, let's get into today's part two. And let's just jump right into the first scripture there in your message notes, and we'll have it up here on the screen. Also from Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And let's look at this together. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And I want us to read this last part together. Can we do this? Let's read it. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. And that's going to be the basis of this message today. Last week we talked about where is the honor. And we talked about, honestly, the fact that I believe that we find ourselves at times living in a culture of selfishness, of dishonor, and we defined honor. Honor is to add value or to give worth to something. It also means to add weight, and I think that's an interesting definition, like that boulder in the middle of the road. If there's a big boulder in the middle of the road and you don't give it respect, guess what? You're going to become a grease spot on that highway. There's a weightiness to that. Well, that's the way honor works. It's going to mess you up if you don't bring honor, if you don't have honor in your life. And so dishonor is the opposite of that. It's honor of weightiness. It's to take lightly and treat as ordinary or treat as common. And I just want to call us back to a place of honor as a culture and as a church. And today's message is going to be the practical side of it. Last week was more inspirational and why it's important. But this week we're going to talk about some how-tos and what and who do we honor. So look with me in 1 Peter. Let's move forward with another scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, that says, show proper respect to everyone. Everybody say, everyone. Everyone. Well, now I want to pick and choose who I'm going to honor. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're to show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the King. And so here's what I want to preface this message with, and that's this statement, and that is that anytime we get into behavioral messages, it's important that the internal motivation is right. And so it's not just about behavior modification. It's about having a heart change so this thing of honor is a principle that gets inside of us, that it's something that we love to do and we delight to do. Not an obligation, but rather it is who we are and who we become. And the goal is that we'll fall in love with this concept of respect. And so today I'm just going to simply give you six areas that needs honor, that we need to bring honor to. And we're going to start broad. We're going to narrow it down as we go. The first area is honor others. Honor others. Everybody say others. It's opposed to self. And so we're creating a culture of, I believe, of by creating a culture of dishonor in our society, I believe it affects us in ways that we don't even realize. And when we dishonor life, when we dishonor people, when we dishonor things around us, if we're not careful, we become a very callous person who really doesn't have a respect for life, who doesn't have respect for things. And so everything's throwaway. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. And I believe that's one, I'm not trying to oversimplify, but I think that's one reason in some pockets of our society we see the violence that we're seeing, because there's no honor, there's no value to life, there's no respect for that. And so we need to come back to this place. In fact, not in your message notes, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about what the last days will look like. And we just got through a series of studying the book of Daniel and how it's a prophetic book. Look, and it really shadows what our society is like today. One of the indications of the last days, first of all, it says that perilous times or fierce times, the translation of that word really is demoniac. It's actually the same word used for those that were demon possessed in the New Testament we see record of. And so it talks about this day, this evil day that it says that, and what it's going to look like. Well, the first thing that's listed there in that list of what it will look like in the last days is that there will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. And I think oftentimes we do live in a very selfish, self-centered society. What is in it for me? It's all about me. What do I get out of it? And I believe that's why we live in a culture that produces oftentimes violent situations and things that in our society they're very unhealthy. And I will also say this, we're not just pointing fingers at the society. I'm going to tell you sometimes the church can be just as cruel. Sometimes the church can be just as cruel when we have all this yang-yang going on where we just say, well, you know, we're better at this and that church over there and they do this and we got it, we know, and we got it all together and no. We don't need to be, listen, never let it be said at Cross Point that we put down other people and other churches and we don't build ourselves up by putting other people down. You don't do that as a church. We shouldn't do that in our homes. We shouldn't do that as a people. We need to make sure that we're not living that way. I mean, seriously, sometimes church people can be vicious. I've heard of fist fights happening. This is horrible. Not this church, y'all. But I'm telling you, I've heard of churches that fist fights have happen in the parking lot among board members. I'm thinking, no, somebody's missing the boat, all right? May we never be the kind of culture that is disrespectful and dishonoring. Philippians chapter 2 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves, better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. And so it's about honor. And if you're in a position of authority, you're in a position that God's put you in, listen, it should be a position where you're honoring people. You say, well, I'm the dad around here and I'm the boss. No, as a dad, you need to be serving your family. You need to be serving your wife. You need to be serving your children. If you're a boss in a company, you need to be leading by example and by servanthood leadership, how you can provide for others and how you can serve others. Amen, everybody? Romans chapter 12, verse 10, let me read this to you that's actually found in the New King James Version, just another version of that scripture I gave you earlier, and that is, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. What would it look like if we live that way at home, if we live that way at work? You know, you start, you know, I'm first. No, you go first, you're first, go ahead. What would that look like in the parking lot, you know, at times when we're shopping? Wouldn't that be a hoot, right? I mean, in a parking lot where we're preferring one another instead of pulling into a space and cutting people off. I mean, you know, slicing people's tires because they got that parking space before you. That actually happened to my wife one time. She came back out and her tires were sliced because this person thought they deserved that space ahead of her. I mean, come on. We need to be a society that is preferring. That needs to happen at home. It needs to happen at work. And when we honor people, when we put others first, it's going to make a huge difference in our life. I was actually on the way to work this week. I work a secular job during the week, and I was on my way driving, and I was listening to the radio, and radio said that there was this new study that came out, this finding that had been taken years to do, and it was to find out what the key to happiness is. Anybody hear that on radio? It was crazy. And they said they've done all this study, spent millions of dollars, and this phenomenal research group has pulled together this finding of what the key to happiness is. And I thought, oh, this ought to be good. You know, I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen. But sure as the world, they spend millions of dollars. It always comes back to the Word of God. And always, you know, the answer's been there for centuries. And yet, you know, they act like they've got some new revelation. And the finding was this. The number one, they kind of summarized it. They said, number one key to happiness is your thought life. How you're thinking about things. You think of things in a positive way. Are you optimistic? Do you see the good? Do you think good things? And I thought, okay, well, we got that one covered. The Bible says whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We already know that, right? And then they came up with the second one. The second reason was for happiness was those that are more resilient. Like when life throws you a curveball, how are you good at adapting? How are you able to deal with that? And can you compartmentalize? When you come home, do you unload on your family? Or do you, you know, no, I've got, you know, that's under control. Now I'm coming home and I'm going to love my family. And so I thought about that and I thought, okay, well, we got that one covered. The Bible says that though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And God causes us to triumph in every situation of life. So I'm thinking, okay, all right, what's next? And so the last one was really the one that really got me. The last one they said, they found out the third thing that is the key for happiness is that those people that are more concerned about others than themselves are happier people. I thought, well, duh. You know? But it's already in the Scripture. Those that will be last shall be first. Those that are first shall be last, right? Right? Give and it shall be given unto you, right? Love one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. It's all there. It all comes down to this. And that's being concerned about others. There's actually another study I heard about that was done by a group of people from Ontario, Canada, and Australia. And they studied the effect, listen to this, the effect of doing household chores. Parents, I'm getting ready to help you there. Household chores. And that is that kids who involve themselves with daily chores are more compassionate. But there's a catch there. Those that are just involved with doing chores around their own needs, like clean your own room, make up your bed, it doesn't have any effect. But those that are doing chores that are for the family, you know, take, you know, feed the dog, you know, don't feed the cat, I'm sorry. I'm just being serious there. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Doing those things around the house, do those things that are for others, and it had a profound effect that was off the chart. And so those things that affect other people in the home, it's everywhere. And so we need to rebuild a culture where the attitude is about others. And I believe when we do that, we're going to experience revival. In fact, the Bible talks, wherever it talks about honor, there's a reward attached to that. There's a benefit from that when we honor people. And I said last week, when Jesus went to a town where nobody honored him, he couldn't do hardly any miracles there. But another town he went to where they honored him, they recognized who he was, he healed them all, the Scripture says. And so it's going to affect your life when we honor. And I'm believing for a revival in the area of honor. So that starts out pretty broad. Honor others. Second point is that we need to honor authority. Honor authority. We all live under a certain amount of authority. There are places in our life where we fall under authority, and we have a need for authority. We have a need for order. We have a need for laws. God is a God. The God we serve is a God of order. He is a God that works with authority. Even when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, it began with honoring our Father and worshiping Him above everything else, setting that first in the prayer to honor God. Ephesians, it talks about the area of authority, and there's actually talks about in the spirit realm, there's levels, there's authority things going on, and we are told we have authority in Jesus' name. That there is a spiritual authority, that if we're under that authority, there's a covering over us of protection, and God always works through authority. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. And so, I want to authority. We're supposed to. So what areas of authority are we talking about? Let me just give you a few here, and I believe it's very important what our attitude is to these areas of authority. Number one is government. Government. And you say, well, what if I don't agree with government? Well, the fact of the matter is every 4 years you get to vote. But truth be told, only 30% of Americans vote. Did you know that? And so I say either vote or hush, right? And then less than 50% of Christians vote, they say. And so we have the opportunity to vote, but after the person is elected, I'm not saying we have to agree with everything, depending on whoever is in there, whether you're agreeing or with them or not, but it doesn't mean that we are supposed to dishonor them. It's okay to disagree, but there still should be a level of honor and respect, right? We need to respect. We need to respect our civil servants. We need to respect those in authority. We need to respect our police officers. We need to respect the firefighters. We need to respect those that are serving us. We need to respect the president. We need to respect and honor our governor. And even though we don't always agree, there needs to be honor. I mean, we just studied Daniel, who was taken captivity, and he was under some evil kings, but he always lived with these distinguishing qualities, and he always brought honor to everything that he did. Look at number two, in the workplace. In the workplace. Or if you're not working in the school, we need to bring honor. That means we're not playing solitaire on the computer until the boss walks up and then we change the screen and act like we were working, right? We're going to bring honor to the area of our life. In fact, Colossians chapter 3 talks about that as we work for the Lord, that we are to work with all of our heart as unto the Lord. We're doing it as unto the Lord. So you need to give a good, honest day's work for a good, honest day's pay, right? Christians should be the ones that get there early and leave late. Christians should be the ones that sets the example by having a good attitude and not chiming in with everybody when everybody's griping and complaining, right? We need to be the ones that set the bar of excellence. And so that nobody could point a finger and find fault, we need to be bringing. Come on. Sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes when you see the Christian logo, the little fish thing on people's business cards, sometimes it just means that they're addicted to mediocrity. And it should not be. I'm saying we should bring honor and excellence to everything we do because it reflects and points people to Jesus. Amen, everybody? Number three, and that's family. That's family. In fact, I believe this is one of the greatest areas of need for honor is in the family. And the family is the greatest place for covering. It's the greatest place to be protected. But oftentimes, it's the greatest place of dishonor. We talked about the word familiarity, and from that word, the basis of that word is family. And that's where we're just familiar with each other, and so we dishonor. It just doesn't matter anymore. And we've been married a long time, and she knows I love her, and he knows I love him, so why do I need to tell him? Listen, we need to bring back honor in the family. Amen? Guys, you need to be opening the door for your wife. Can I get a good amen for the women? When we walk up to a door going into a business, guess what? My wife pauses. She doesn't even reach for the door. She knows I'm going to get it, right? I mean, I'm not saying I got it all together, but I'm trying to do more. I'm trying to get it right more than I get it wrong, all right? But we need to be honoring. I heard of a pastor. I was at his funeral, and they were talking about the children was talking about their father, and it said that whenever we went anywhere, when we were going out in the public, Dad never parked the car in the parking space and we all got out. He would always go by the door and let Mom off, right? Let her out, get her out of the car, and then go park the car everywhere they went. He honored her. I tell you, we need to bring back honor. What would it look like if we honored one another in every way that we can? I mean, when we come home, I mean, we need to be honoring people. Honoring people in our family. I know they say of men that we have 15,000 words we use a day and wives 30,000. And by the time we get home, the men, you've already used them up. Women, you're just getting started, all right? Now, that would probably be flip in my family. Good amen right there. It's just a generalization, but usually that's the way it works. And then the husband oftentimes will come home and the wife wants some quality time and wants her to, you know, ask her about her day. And he's thinking, that's the last thing I want to know about. I want to see SportsCenter. No, I want to, anything, you know, I've talked out, I'm wore out. I want some brainless activity, Storage Wars on TV, anything, kill an alligator, whatever, you know. I just want to chill. And the woman's like, I got some words I need to tell you what's going on in my day. What would it look like if I say, no, I don't need that. Let me listen to you talk. No. You go down, you rest. You watch SportsCenter while I get something. Come on. I'm just saying we need to prefer one another, be honoring one another in the home. Amen, everybody? Loving one another, right? Esteem one another. And I believe that includes not only husbands and wives, but siblings, loving each other. Some of you think I'm giving a pipe dream, right? Number four, spiritual. Honor those things that are spiritual as well. And I'll be brief here because it's kind of awkward when you're the pastor and you're trying to say you need to be honoring your pastor, but you need to be honoring your pastor. And I can give you a lot of verses for it, but I won't give you all that. But I'm just going to, I'll just present this as if I'm the guest speaker here and I'm not your pastor, okay? But we need to be honoring. The Bible talks about honoring those that work hard for you in the work of the Lord. In fact, those that prepare the word for you, the Bible says, should even be given double honor. That's what the word of God says. And at one time, I didn't realize the importance of this. I was under a pastor who, but if you called him his first name, he was upset. Well, I went to the other extreme, and I just said, you know, I don't care. I'm just whoever, you know. And I was remember I answered a phone one time, and a guy was standing next to me back here at the soundboard years ago, and I said, hey, this is Theron. And he was shocked. He said, I cannot believe. And I didn't realize, is that important? And here's what I've come to realize, that, you know, if I kind of have come to the point, I like pastor. I think that's cool, you know, a pastor. I'm thinking Pastor Theron. That way it's not quite as formal as Pastor Hobbs. I'm not into the right reverend, incorporated, honorable. You know, you don't need all that. I'm just Theron. But here's what I know. Sometimes the level of respect you give somebody, level of honor you give to somebody, there's a connection with what degree you can receive from them. If you become so familiar with them that you don't add as much weight and just let's take light, the message oftentimes is taken very lightly and you don't take it seriously and you can't receive. So it's not about me, but I want to make sure you receive the message, right? And if I just become like, I mean, I've talked to different people. Sometimes I talk to people on the phone, hey, Theron, what you doing? Hey, bud. You know, and then others say, hey, Pastor, good morning, how are you? You know, and I think what happens there, I could see that sometimes something is lost in the mix. And I'm saying, here's what we need to make sure, this is not just about me. This is about anybody in ministry. This is about anybody in the church, anybody that's working with you. We need to give honor to one another. We need to recognize the potential in them and what God has called them to do. And we need to respect and honor one another because there's a connection with that, love with our honoring and the ability to receive from them, okay? So let me just move on. You know the verses. You know what it said there. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this. I urge then, first of all, that request prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all authority, all those in authority, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives with all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so in all these areas, we need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for the president. We need to be praying for those in leadership. We need to pray for the governor. We need to pray for our boss. We need to pray for our supervisor. We need to pray for our pastor. Please do. We need to pray for one another, right? We need to pray for our husbands, our wives. We need to pray for our children. Amen? And believe God for great things. So let's move on. So number three. We're to honor others, we're to honor authority, and we're to honor our parents. And I know we all know this, but in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And to honor them, and we're to bless our parents. And you say, well, you don't understand what kind of parents I have. I'm not saying that you have to agree with everything your parents does, and I know when you're under their house, you do as they rule. But please understand that we still honor them. We still respect them. When we get out of the home and we've grown up, we may not always have to obey everything they say, but we still need to honor them and we still need to respect them. Really, we need to respect our parents. Kids, you need to respect your mother. She's the one that, for crying out loud, brought you into the world. And if you disrespect her, the dad's able to take you out of the world. I'm just saying. All right, okay. Let's move on. Number four, honor age. Honor age. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect to the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. And what is that saying? When an elderly person walks in the room, we're not to say, okay, we just ignore you. You don't matter. And we're doing something over here. No, you rise up. You acknowledge them. You honor them. You respect them. You give them a place of honor in the room, right? And sometimes it seems like the younger are saying, look, these old people, they don't even know how to use an iPhone. Come on. Guess what? That's probably the only thing you know how to do. I'm just saying, listen, we need to honor them because there's a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of information, a wealth of experience, and we need to bring honor to them, right? At a wedding, when there's a reception line, the kids don't need to be running up and crowding out the elderly. Look, the elderly need to go first. Can I get a good amen from somebody there? I mean, when we're on the bus and you're sitting on the bus and an elderly person walks on the bus and there's no seats left, you get up and you let the elderly person sit down. Honor them. This is basic stuff, but we need to be implementing this in our lives. Job chapter 12, verse 12 says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? Number five, honor nature. Honor nature. And this one may sound a little strange, but listen to this. Genesis chapter 1, 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And so we need to honor nature. And that doesn't mean this extreme worship of nature. Listen, we're not worshiping nature. We worship only God. We're not out here hugging a bunch of trees and worshiping and making that the center of our universe. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that we have been given a responsibility to till the ground and to take care of it. It also means we're not supposed to be disrespectful. If you kill something, you're out hunting. Look, you're killing it to get something to eat, right? You're killing it for a reason. You're not just killing it to kill it. We're not just blowing away a bird because it's fun to blow away a bird. No, we're going to let that bird chirp for another day so somebody else can enjoy that bird chirping. But, you know, you see what I'm saying? There's a balance to this, but we need to be honoring and we need to be respecting even of nature because God created it, right? And we need to put it in its proper place. Number six, and that is finally that we need to honor God. We need to honor God. Psalm 29 and 2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. That word glory there in that verse in the Hebrew is the word kabod. It really means weight. And so when you understand the definition of honor and it brings weight, we understand really it makes the whole Bible make sense. God comes down with his weightiness, with his glory. And Psalm 34 and 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, let's magnify him. Let's honor him. Let's not make him less. Let's honor him and recognize the awesomeness of our God, the weightiness of our God. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crop. So we honor God with how we live our life. We live or honor God with this body, with this temple that we that he dwells in. But we also honor God with our wealth, with our increase, with what God's given us. We bless him and we honor him. And we say that by saying what we're doing is we're putting him first. We're putting him first. In fact, that's really what salvation is all about. It's about putting him first. And here's the truth of the matter. You say, well, God's on my list. But here's the truth. If God is not at the top of your list, he's really not on your list at all. In fact, that's what salvation is about. It's not about just joining a church and doing religious things. It's really about reordering your life, that Christ would be preeminent, that God would be first, that we honor God in everything, in every area, in all that we do. We make him Lord of our life. Some of you here today may need to just do that very thing. It may be that things are all out of order because you don't have God in the first place of your life. He's there, but he's just like one of those things. But God, help us to put him first and foremost in our life. So I want you to give me just a moment. No stirring around. Let's just be still for just a moment. I'd just like to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you're here today and you feel like maybe your life is just not in order, things aren't the way they should be, it all begins by putting God first. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. I think of it this way. All these other things will just chase you down. Everything that you have need of, they'll fall in its proper place when you put God at the first of your life, at the top of your list. He's everything. So today, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. If that's you today and you just need to put God first in your life, we just call this a prayer of commitment, just a prayer of surrender, of saying, God, I'm giving you my life. I want you to lead my life. I acknowledge you. I'm going to honor you. I'm not just here going through this life and it's all an accident and a happenstance, but no, God, I believe that you're my God and I'm your creation and I honor you. And I want you to be first in my life. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But just right where you're seated, if you need to pray that kind of a surrender prayer, commitment prayer, I'm just going to, right where you're seated, just lead you in a prayer between you and God. But if that's you as I'm praying this prayer, would you right now, would you just lift up your hand if you'd say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you include me? Would you count me in? Just slip up a hand and put it right back down. God bless you today. I'm proud of you. God bless you today. And you, yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. From your heart, would you just let me lead you in this prayer? Just pray these words. Just make it your own, but just pray this. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I give you my life. Surrender my heart to you, and I want you to be first in my life. Come live inside of me. I welcome you. Forgive me of my sins and going my own way. Today, I turn and follow you. I leave behind my past and I step into the future that you have for me. That place that you want me to be blessed and enjoying life. Today I accept you and I thank you for giving me new life in Jesus' name. By faith I receive you. Thank you, Jesus.